is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here today with Katrin Varga, who's head of PR for e-residency in Estonia. We're going to be talking about the e-residency program, its successes, what it means, and what is happening going forwards. Katrin, good morning.
Good morning. E-residency is opening up Estonian digital society. Estonia is the first digitally transformed country. It opens up Estonian economy for non-residents, and you can apply for e-residency just to experience the digital society and understand how it works. Most of the people apply for e-residency to run their EU business completely remotely. We have the possibility to allow people to incorporate and administer their business completely location-free. Myself, I have been with e-residency almost for 5 years. I moved back to Estonia after 13 years abroad, 10 of which I spent in London, about 6 years ago when e-residency was looking for somebody to do their global communication. I really wanted to apply. I knew the program since they launched the program. I was living abroad and I thought it was a brilliant idea because I was an entrepreneur myself in the UK. I own my own little business. It was an interesting journey for me because I was comparing the same services in Estonia that you have digitally in the UK back then, even though I saw Estonia's competitive edge. I had also lived in Belgium, in Brussels. When I moved to Brussels as a journalist back then, it was very bureaucracy and paperwork heavy. It was a new thing for me coming from this country. For me, e-residency personally and living in Estonia, it's very nice because I see the quality of life that this digitalization brings for citizens. But I also have this other experience of living elsewhere in the world and know what developments would benefit the people there.
You've had quite some success with it. The program's 9 years old, but you're very cash positive. Your take on tax from businesses is 6.7 times what it costs you to run the program. You've got 105,000 people registered for e-residency. Business opening up here, more unicorns than any other country in Europe. Those are huge numbers for any country.
You have to consider that Estonia is really a microstate in terms of population. We have only 1.3 million people living here, probably only 1 million Estonians all around the world. The country itself is the size of Belgium. It's bigger than Netherlands. So we are not that big, but we have a lot of forest, a lot of nature, and not that many people. It is easier for us to compete against big nations, and it has added some ease to making the transformation, being a digital society, adopting different, more efficient tools for citizens, and making it more and faster evident. Very entrepreneurial friendly legal framework and policy that we have had for 30 years. We have reaped the benefits earlier. The e-residency is really like a government startup. Started as a crazy idea 9 years ago. When I talked to the founders, three public servants who came up with an idea, they were really brave. It's generally something about Estonia is that since our independence in early 90s, people feel brave, they come up with ideas, and there is a generally very positive attitude about wanting to make a change and having a discussion about how to better life, how to better the economy, and how to grow faster. This is all part of today's identity and the general culture. The success, both for e-residency and for the Estonian economy, for startups, has come from the fact that after independence, country was really poor and we really pushed the slate clean, so to speak. We had no habits to hold us back. Early political leaders as well as the business people had Western education, had already traveled around the world, were young, were ambitious and were very visionary. It was a lucky moment and some great ideas found fertile ground. This is how the very entrepreneur-friendly policy was designed because the government needed money. They also needed to incentivize entrepreneurship, incentivize paying taxes, which is how e-tax access system was born over 20 years ago. Fast forward all these different things. E-residency was born after Estonian developers had already done Skype, Wise, formerly TransferWise, a couple of bigger unicorns were already born. These three public servants who founded e-residency realized that these digital business services that we have are very rare. they enable something that modern entrepreneurs are looking for and their states don't deliver. It's not a big investment. We just need to create kind of an upper layer. We need to create another digital ID that has all the same features but doesn't have a photo, which means it's not identity document for traveling. But essentially, it's the same as a digital ID for me as a citizen, as an Estonian citizen. It allows you the same access to our digital services. You can do the same things. Obviously, you are not going to e-vote because you are not a citizen of Estonia and you can't present yourself as an Estonian when you're crossing the borders. But otherwise, it's the same thing. All the infrastructure, everything about e-residency is the same. The services are the same as Estonians have, which means we didn't need to build anything substantial. We needed to just tweak our legislation to work for e-residents and to acknowledge this as a document, this access. The rest has been a little bit tweaking about the regulation for businesses and access. The product we have had for nearly 25 years, this is the Estonian Digital Services. It snowballed and nobody expected that it was so popular. People were applying for e-residency just as e-residency fans, just as fans of digital society, not even for business purposes. They were just curious. This has been a great surprise, and it has also proved that the governments are lagging behind delivering good options and good services for today's modern borderless entrepreneurs. We have a rapidly growing number of digital nomads. COVID added significantly to that, and there are not enough services for them. Governments are essentially all competing with each other to attract talent, to attract investments, to attract business. They are not doing a very good job if they are not offering location-free services. I'm very passionate about it because I see there is a huge potential. We are looking for more competition. We would like to see more e-residencies launched by different governments and more competition that would push us forward as well.
How hard is that going to be for them to do? You touched on something there. After the Cold War, we saw a lot of countries that have been under the Soviet orbit. We looked at their technology. And they were 20, 30 years behind their Western counterparts. When they then came into the technology era, they were able to not go through all those steps, those missteps, all that legacy. They were able to jump quickly, and it accelerated economies, as it did with yourselves. You took a different path, though, to many of the other countries by this immediate focus on digitization. Yeah. Digital services deliver it. Others are still mired in the problems of civil servants and paper systems and bureaucracy. Was there any one thing that made Estonia suddenly go, well, we don't need all the bureaucracy, we can make it simple? What was the trigger to taking what, in hindsight, looks like such a huge foresighted step?
There were a couple of things, actually. This is not very widely known, but you remember Soviet Union was a huge piece of the world. Estonia actually had a cybernetics, early computing research center, the only one in the Soviet Union since the early 60s. We did have this research capability and the brain power here in this particular spot of the Soviet Union back then. If we think about everything that happened later, this is my opinion, I think this gave us a head start because we are talking about keyless signature infrastructure similar to blockchain. The same idea, that is the security infrastructure and the foundation for Estonian digital services developed in Estonia by our researchers. We sometimes call ourselves the first blockchain nation. The technology was born here. Skype was born here. Some people more interested in maybe some early business applications that weren't so squeaky clean. No, Kazaa, also developed by the same guys as Skype, that had some copyright issues. It was kind of music sharing application very early on before Spotify. This was also done here. There were students in this technology university in Tallinn trying out things, and this university had formerly had Cybernetics Institute already 40 years before all this research. The second part is that private and public sector collaboration was very strong since the early 90s. The Nordic banks and Estonian-owned banks started giving banking services to the population. These banking services were developed in a very advanced way. This is private sector now, very early on. I don't think we have had anything like a checkbook. I saw my first checkbook when I moved to the UK. I'd never seen anything like that. We moved forward with this online banking and the bank plastic card very early on. Regarding to developing government services, collaboration with banks helped a lot. Very early on, the collaboration between private and public sector that really helped to find these electronic solutions for government services. They were an integral part of developing the e-taxation service that was one of the first proper things. I already talked about the political will and some open-mindedness and some statesmen with international experience and vision who saw these possibilities for Estonia early on. What I didn't talk about was how we have such a digital equality today. Digital equality is something that is spoken about around the world, meaning that when there is big digital transformation happening, there are groups of people, groups of the population that can be left behind. Elderly people, people who don't have such means to have the latest technology at home. In Estonia, we had a program called Tiger Leap, kicked off in late 90s. It's essentially an educational initiative. And the idea of this initiative, again, coming from the politicians back at the time, was computer class to every school. We are talking about every school in Estonia, however remote. They made happen the computer classes and rooms and trainings in community centers, in the villages, in the regional areas. This Tiger Leap initiative actually started before digital transformation, and it went side by side. It introduced people to computers. It was free, the education, free, the easy access. It allowed the whole population to familiarize themselves with the digital possibilities, get access to digital services, and for this digital transformation to be very easy for the population. Today, that means that the fact that there is electronic elections and the physical ones, there were more people, I think, who elected electronically than physically. It's very widely used. We have high activity participating in elections, and people are active and they are using digital means to do that. Digital ways of doing the taxation is very widely appreciated because you get your tax return earlier. This is the incentive that the government has attached to using the digital service, that the people get their money back earlier. It's so much easier, it takes minutes. That was a long story short, but I really wanted to dig into some of the aspects that I don't think we cover very often, that I see as somebody who has also seen Soviet time.
That's really interesting, because when we look at the attempt to do digital services in many other countries, they're built on top of bureaucratic services. The adoption rate isn't fantastic. And in many cases, they're having to force people into digital services. In the United Kingdom, Making Tax Digital has been one of our programs, and that's to force companies to move away from filing all their tax reports, their VAT on paper, to having to do it all online and use services provided by accountancy firms. And it's not always the best solution. If you look at e-residency, what fascinates me is having built these digital services to this degree that are so well accepted by your own citizens, your willingness to open that up to people from outside Estonia. How did you balance off the time, the cost, the access, the compute power of what was being given to your own residents to say, okay, we've got these e-residents coming in. To begin with, most of them aren't going to be paying any tax. They're not contributing to the economy. We're taking a gamble on them contributing by opening companies. How did you look at the e-residency program in such a way as, what benefits does it bring to us? What advantages does it bring to us? But also, how do we make this attractive to people who are looking at it?
We have to think about this a little bit more now when the residency program has more clear strategic goal. We saw very different people applying for e-residency. We have two main goals. One is to bring in extra tax benefits, direct benefits for Estonian government. But since e-residency is not a tax residency, we don't market it as such. I personally think we can't really make it as a condition because we still want to showcase the possibilities of the digital services. In the EU, there is free movement of labor goods and services. It's like double taxation avoidance treaty. We are completely for people should pay their taxes where their taxes are due and where they stay, and some instances where their clients are, for example, e-commerce businesses. But the other and maybe even more important goal for us is to have more soft power for Estonia internationally and more indirect benefits for our economy. What we can already see today is that e-residency, as some other similar government initiatives like startup visa, scale-up visa, digital nomad visa, they are working really to diversify the economic landscape in Estonia, the economic environment, the type of businesses that we have. They bring in talent what comes to employees for our startups, our unicorns, and also for e-residency companies, for other companies. They work as attraction for entrepreneurs, the founders who want to come and create a company in a country that has a very beneficial startup ecosystem. That means that you have only 1 degree of separation, that you can talk to any unicorn founder and ask for mentorship, ask for advice. It's a very close-knit community, very generous. All the unicorn founders, they are giving back to the Estonian economy a lot. They have established coding schools, put a lot of their investment money back into Estonian startups. Essentially, these funding opportunities and the support in terms of advice and the community activities is very strong here. 30% of Estonian startups have an e-resident founder or e-resident co-founder. This is 1/3 of Estonian startups. Doesn't matter if they are founded by non-residents or residents or e-residents. Our startup sector is benefiting a lot from the e-residency program. This is a perfect kind of secret sauce, shall we say. It's working very well together. The ultimate goal is to keep our economy competitive, keep our economy diverse. I think it's very important. You asked about openness. The successful economies are diverse. There is different talent coming in. There is a diversity in terms of nationalities, genders, age groups. So the diversity has to be there to make it more compatible and more successful. Estonia is going a little bit against the grain here. It doesn't mean we don't have the same issues as other countries in terms of more populist, more nationalist thinking in some ways. But in terms of keeping our economy compatible, everybody agrees that we need to keep it open because otherwise we have no chance against the big players in Europe.
Let's talk a little bit about this challenge of e-residency, because for me to open a business, I need to already be an e-resident. The program looks to be relatively simple. Yes, there's a delay because fingerprints have to be taken, you have to visit offices, the police and the border controls people need to do all their checks, and quite rightly so. You're offering somebody a residency, albeit virtual. But some of the challenges that have been thrown up that I've heard of are the length of time it takes for that process. Others, talking to people in America and other countries, is the distance they have to travel to go through that process of giving fingerprints and completing part of this. They seem to be walls to getting there. And until people get through those walls, the challenge for them is how do they then open their business as an e-resident? What are you doing to make it easier to become an e-resident? And by easier, I don't mean lowering the barrier, because that's the one thing you can't possibly do.
We can't compromise on that.
But how do you make it more accessible is probably a better phrase.
Yes, there are many challenges for us. We also want to grow. There are already other countries creating e-residencies, making a bigger digital transformation because the COVID was such a challenge. Everybody needed to update a little bit. This is where Estonia, being small and having quite a low number of embassies in foreign countries, really comes as a bottleneck for us in terms of the distribution of e-residency. We are very honored by all these Brazilians, Colombians, Argentinians, and from other faraway countries who are applying for e-residency. They travel across the ocean to pick up their card somewhere in Europe or in New York or come to Estonia to do it. This honestly seems like a crazy kind of sacrifice. We have tried different ways. With our foreign ministry, there have been temporary missions by embassies and consulates organized to some areas. Spain is a big country, fastest growing country in terms of their citizens applying for e-residency at the moment. There is an embassy in Madrid, and 80% of their time they are spending in issuing e-residency cards, and then only 20% on other duties and Estonian citizens' documents and whatnot. We are trying different ways. It's a very complicated procedure. Everybody who is going to give out the digital IDs needs to be through the training. Everything is a very special thing. It's a process, but we would really like to have something new to offer regarding handing over e-residency in terms of shortening the average time of getting the card physically, which is after the application 64 days now. This is too long for us when we compare ourselves with the tech and business hubs like Singapore, Delaware, Ireland, UK. We can see that we are competing very successfully with these business hubs in terms of digital services. We are the only one allowing the full interoperable digital services user journey for an entrepreneur. We also have other advantages in terms of the pricing and the speed of incorporating. It takes just a day or two in Estonia to cooperate. But applying for e-residency and getting the card, it's currently 64 days. In Europe, you can get it earlier, within 3-4 weeks. The main part of this journey that takes long is actually the delivery of the card. It's not the security protocol, the security background search, everything is like 1 to 2 weeks. If you could get it down to 3 weeks, 4 weeks, average time would be great for us. People are applying for e-residency, but I would like to be more customer-facing in this respect.
Two of the interesting things that came up this week, listening to people talking, has been people have moved away from the card to the app. A more secure app may be a start point there. But the other thing that came up as a question when I was talking to people in America and other places was they come across things saying it was incredibly hard to move from being an e-resident to being a physical resident of Estonia. Given that people have gone through all that process to become an e-resident, you've verified them, you've done background checks on them, you've probably done more than most countries do when they offer access to their own country to become a resident. What is the process for somebody who's maybe been an e-resident for 2-3 years, they've opened a business and now want to actually become a real resident of Estonia? How simple is that process in reality?
Estonian migration is not easy. E-residence is really the perfect solution for somebody who wants the same access but doesn't necessarily want or need to come to Estonia. We are in European Union, we have a euro. For European citizens, settling in Estonia is an easy process. This change from being an EU citizen or EU resident and coming to Estonia and settling here as an e-resident shouldn't be a difficult process. People who have e-residency, for example, we have a lot of Ukrainians who have recently moved over to Estonia because there is a war going on. But people from other countries, from Asia, lots of Brazilians coming here, also e-residents. Depends why they are doing it. We have recommended for many of them who have already created a startup with their e-residency digital ID to take advantage of startup visa. Startup visa gives them the possibility to stay in Estonia for 5 years. There are certain criteria that they need to fill, but this application process is completely separate from visa and residency application process. This is a nice fast track for people who have an actual business, fast growing, that follows under the startup definition here. Scale-up visa is recommended for the people who come from outside of Europe. When I mean outside of Europe, I still see it as UK inside of Europe. If you come from outside of EU and UK and the European Economic Area, you need to prove your income, you need to prove many things before you can reside in Estonia. These are the main areas of difficulty.
One of the reasons for asking that question was not just how easy is it, but you talked earlier about the advantage of the diversity of people you have here. the work you've done to educate people about digital and electronic right the way from school. Diversity only happens if you also have an influx of migrants, because otherwise you're working with the same population all the time. How do you increase your diversity and exposure to other cultures and ways of thinking and everything else? Because that surely has a significant benefit from not just from the startup mentality, but also in terms of general business.
I don't know what the numbers this year for e-residents applied and the birth rate, but a couple of years ago it used to be that there were more e-residents applying or people applying for e-residency than children born in Estonia. We have a very small population. Every little bit is important for our state budget. The taxes paid are important. In Estonia, I don't know anybody who knows anybody who doesn't have their own company. It's very normal to be an entrepreneur, whether it's a side business, hobby business. Usually people have businesses running next to their daily job if they are employed, or if they are only entrepreneurs, they have several businesses. This is a very normal lifestyle, and this is also something that really gives back to the government in terms of the budget. It makes it possible to run your own country, budget-wise. But regarding the diversity, yes, the fact is that we don't have enough really highly educated professionals for our unicorns, for our startups, for our businesses working here in Estonia. We need to be open for people, for also cybersecurity experts, for software developers, for everybody, all to be ready to employ people, basically. Previously, there was a lot of developers coming in from Ukraine and the work order in Ukraine. Today is complicated, but Estonia needs to be an attractive destination for the tech professions around the world. We want to attract them to come and work here. Also, attractive country to settle to in terms of being open-minded, in terms of the culture. We do widely speak English. All the state services, everything is in English. So there is not a language barrier, there is no discrimination based on race, age, gender, nationality, religion. We are trying very hard. We need more talent, more money in our state budget, more highly educated people finding us. We can't really afford to be closed off.
When we talk about e-businesses by e-residents, how many of those are paper businesses only? And how many of them have a physical presence with physical employees within the country?
I don't know the number. I can say is that e-residency is the most useful for the entrepreneurs whose main business is digital in its core. It is the most popular among software consultancies, marketers, the business consultancies, the kind of businesses that essentially offer services, offer them remotely, market themselves digitally, and offer some products and services on their website, so apps and stuff like that. It's not a great solution for you if you want to import shoes or some physical goods. We do have quite a lot of e-commerce businesses, and they need usually Estonian IBAN. This may pose a little bit of an issue because e-residency doesn't guarantee you an Estonian bank account, but by Estonian regulation, you can run an Estonian business borderless as well. If you have any EU bank account or your business bank in EU-based financial fintech company, this is something that every e-resident can find themselves. Even if they are already serviced by EU bank, they can continue to get services from there for their Estonian company.
One of the challenges when you open a business is getting a bank account, because a bank account has always been seen as one of the first steps to open a business. I like the fact that people can just bring their bank accounts with them. I think that makes things very flexible, particularly from a European perspective. But there are going to be those from outside of Europe, an e-resident. They want to have an e-business here. How easy is it for them to use, say, an American bank account or a Brazilian, an Argentinian or an Australian bank account? Is that easy to tie to their e-business, or in those instances, is there a process by which they can then apply for an Estonian bank account as an e-business and as an e-resident?
Estonian regulation today allows for 3 years or 4 years to have and run Estonian company, essentially EU company, with any EU-based bank or fintech company account. You don't necessarily need to have Estonian bank account because Estonian financial regulation for banks is quite strict. all the companies who deal with financial services are monitored. It's quite strict here compared to many other countries. We don't secure or guarantee the bank account. You need to see where you can get one. This is one of the interesting things. We have heard the banks or fintech companies saying that they really appreciate the Estonian police and border guard doing a very thorough risk-based background check before they give e-residency out. This is extra security layer for them. It's a separate application journey, and sadly, it is a bit difficult for us, the fact that not everybody can get the bank account from outside of EU. They need to really look into the fintechs. Today, there is not a lot that a traditional bank account can give you if you are an entrepreneur starting off or a startup founder just starting off. For example, if you're talking about Wise, who is our partner, who is on our marketplace, when we handed out the residency cards in São Paulo recently, they had already established a Brazilian office, a little team, and we were working alongside with them. Essentially, in our marketing activities, we were collaborating because it made sense to offer the product together. You apply for e-residency and then Wise is a solution for you because they are global and they offer you all the services that you need, minus the credit possibility. You don't get the loan, but it's not something that the starting entrepreneur is looking for. We have these options like Revolut and the other fintech companies, and we always recommend to look at the fintechs. First of all, they offer a completely location-free options for you. You can apply for an account without flying somewhere and filling out the paper form. We work with local banks as well and keep an eye on their solutions. We have LHV on our marketplace. They have a remote application system, like a pre-opening account stage that they offer. Generally, fintechs are good because also e-residency is a little bit disruptive government startup, exactly like Wise did, started the revolution in banking, like Bolt and Uber started in car sharing. We are finding our way as we go along and trying to make the whole customer journey more complete and better facilitated for the potential e-residents.
One of the reasons for asking that question was the issue of value-added tax. Tax authorities in Europe require you to have a European bank account in order to be able to reclaim and charge VAT. If I'm a US citizen and I'm an e-resident and I start an e-business here and I'm selling services, that might be writing services, it might be software. We know that across Europe, I have to charge VAT based on where it's consumed. That was a change that occurred to deal with Amazon and occurred about 4 or 5 years ago. If I don't have a bank account, then many European countries will have a problem when I'm trying to reverse charge VAT. Now, fintechs don't provide that solution, so I'm surprised that hasn't come up as a question before.
This comes up as a question, but luckily I'm not the one who has to answer. The e-residency team, we are not tax consultants, and we don't want to take it on. What comes to cross-border taxation and all the different user cases, it is so complicated, it is so varied that we don't even attempt. What we have tried to do is we have the virtual marketplace. We vet these companies, the consultancies that actually want to be promoted on our marketplace. We have business and tax consultancies there who are helping e-residents to find answers to these questions. There are many companies, advisors, who specifically focus on specific countries. There are the ones who are holding the hand of German e-residents and German entrepreneurs, the ones from the States, the ones from Spain, who are very often remote companies themselves, have people working in these countries. They are helping e-residents and potential e-residents finding the answers to these tax questions. Another thing, Ian, you also spoke to some e-resident entrepreneurs. They are also our envoys and community leads. They are usually serial entrepreneurs. They usually run more than one company or have had more than one company during their entrepreneurial life. And they are very good in answering these questions and know the product much better than ourselves. They can advise, for example, Americans, many Americans who live in Europe. We are talking about these who are looking into e-residency. They create another company. They keep it separate. They are paying taxis, of course, in the States and then also here in Estonia. But they have figured out the cost benefit of doing that. Now, VAT, as you asked, is a completely different topic that we need to target. This is something that I'm not going to even attempt to do here. But it is a real issue and it is complicated. Our president, who was formerly in the office before the current president, who is a very bright economical and visionary mind, has also called out different governments to really look into these new tribe of entrepreneurs, and maybe we could make some kind of agreement here. For example, Estonia would be happy to collect the taxes and redistribute them to other countries. There are different options that maybe today's entrepreneurs need that governments can unite here and figure out the solutions for them, so it would be less complicated for everybody. I know Estonians are probably happy to do something. We are very transparent.
I really started my journey to getting my e-residency sorted out. I did look at the program when you first announced it, and I never quite got round to it. One of my colleagues, Charles Brett, is an e-resident.
I'm really happy to hear it. So please let us know how it goes. We always ask, get a little feedback. We have a lot of journalists who are trying it out. And I think this is the best way to find out what it is about and really to get the user experience.
Katrin, thank you for your time this morning.
You're welcome, Ian. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.